La 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 la.
Wow. You ended on a VG there. Are you just auditioning to be the fifth VG? Or did Barry Gibb come in?
He took over. I channeled him.
Okay. All right. So, welcome to Ready, Set, Stream.
Yes, this is
a new podcast.
First official
podcast episode. This is a new one, and this is my husband, Mark. My name is Shannon.
Hello.
Hello. And what we're doing here is we just love TV. We love binging things. We love streaming things all over whatever platform we can find it on, if it's a good show. So what we thought we would do is a podcast where we kind of binge a TV show with you, doing like an episode a week. And we just kind of talk about each episode and what we like about it, don't like about it, how we think it's working, if we like the show, how it's going. And we're just going to kind of start with one show. And when we finish that, we're going to try to move on to another. We may condense here and there, or if we're really loving it, we may draw it out, or what, you know, whatever you guys think, you know, you need to tell us what you like and what kind of format that you really like. Since this is our first podcast, we want to kind of learn what you guys want from us. If you want to contact us to let us know what you do like, what you'd like to see more of, you can use the email address that I've not yet created, but which I am going to create, and let's just call that readysetstream@gmail.com. I'm going to assume that email address is actually in operations for somebody to grab.
Hopefully.
Yeah, since I'm going to go create it after we video or
since you've spoken
audio
into
this.
Existence.
Yeah, since I've spoken it into existence, I'm sure it'll be there ready for me to create after we finish this podcast episode. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So should we get into why we started with the Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, we are beginning with the Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
As our first show. Yeah, tell the story.
Well, my wife really loves the Gilmore Girls.
That I do.
And it's constantly on. And she kind of brought me into the fold after about 3 episodes. And I was like, okay, let me check this out.
Well, let me preface that by saying, I tried 3 episodes. The first one, I was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is interesting. And the second one, when I first watched it, I was like, okay, yeah, even better. And then by the third one, I was actually hooked. And that's when I went to Mark and I said, you have to try to watch this with me. If you don't like it, I won't make you, but you got to at least give it 3 episodes because that's when it hooked me.
Yes, and I always give anything a fair chance. And as I was telling Shannon, I've subjected her to numerous tortures with the things that I enjoy watching.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of B-movie things and such as, you know. And
well, let's not give them any such as's.
Yeah, I better stay away from that topic.
Yeah, well, you really don't want to know what he watches and forces me to watch.
Unfortunately,
all you need to know is that I'm sitting there left looking at the television set, and my eyes are bugging. And I'm like, what the heck did I just spend an hour and a half or 2 hours on? Oh my god!
So suffice it to say that she put up with a bunch of low rent things, and I would graciously gave her a chance with the Gilmore Girls. And about 3 or 4 shows in, like her, I found myself enjoying it. So,
which is cool because you're a dude.
And I think it's interesting because with every character, someone can find something to relate to.
I agree with that.
I
agree with that completely. You see yourself in everybody.
Yes. Well, that brings me to the second reason.
Yeah.
That we decided to watch this show.
Oh yeah, this is important.
We have family members that for some
strange
odd reason,
they
refuse to view the Gilmore Girls, and I don't know why.
We have told them and told them, please watch this; you will love it.
We take their advice on other shows, and we at least give them a chance.
Well, yeah, they'll say, hey, check this show out. We think you'll really like it. We will at least try, you know, but they are flatly refusing to try.
So we coined the term hostile streamers.
Because that's what they are. They're hostile.
They kick against the prigs, you know what I'm saying?
They're hostile because anytime we will bring up Gilmore Girls, they will now start to roll their eyes heavenward and act like they're being cuss word. Yeah, it's like they're being put upon. And it's not like we have not really steered them in the right direction before. We got them watching This Is Us, and they love This Is Us. And they're like, oh my God, This Is Us, so amazing.
I think the most we got one member of our family to watch was maybe one episode, if that. I can't verify that.
That cannot be verified. Yes. I think that they were actually fibbing. Well, just to get me off the road. Yeah, I tried it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At any rate, so if you've experienced similar issues getting someone to stream or watch a certain show, we'd love to hear about those.
We would actually also love to hear any advice you might give. Tips and tricks on how to make people watch stuff that you want them to watch when they're being just very hostile. And they will not view things that you suggest. And you know that they're just really missing out. So, yeah, if you have any of those, send them our way into the new email address that I said I was going to create, readysetstream@gmail.com.
We will reply back, let you know how that's going.
Whether your tips worked.
We used them and they succeeded or failed.
Yep. So those of you listening who are the hostile viewers or hostile streamers, you know who you are. This is your fault.
Yes.
So that's why we're doing Gilmore Girls.
Yes, and you will watch it by the end of this, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely.
That is our mission.
That is the mission.
And we choose to accept that mission.
Absolutely. Okay. And resistance is futile.
There you go.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start out with the first season, first episode of Gilmore Girls. And we've watched this before. I personally have probably watched the Gilmore Girls all the way through maybe about 5 times.
This is my second go around.
This is his second. This time, though, we really sat down and just kind of analyzed the episode and really kind of got into it as we had never done before. Before, we just kind of view it for entertainment and just, you know, not looking to really analyze anything or pick it apart or anything of that nature to see why it worked well for us.
Should we say spoilers and all that?
There might be some spoilers in here, so we're really hoping that you're watching with us each week as we go from episode to episode. That way we don't spoil the current episode for you. But unless you've been living under a rock, then you more than likely, if you're listening to this, you're probably already a Gilmore fan. I hope so anyway. So if we do say some spoilers from future episodes, our apologies. We are warning you in advance, though, we may drop one or two here and there.
There could be anti-Gilmore Girls listening.
Absolutely, that could be, too. Maybe you sent
this to somebody who's a hostile streamer.
Absolutely. Yeah, that could be. But, yeah, so we're going to kind of go through it and tell you everything that we're seeing in the episodes. But also, I wanted to mention the third reason why we're... Actually, you forgot the third reason. The third reason that we're doing this, too, is because one of the main characters from the show, Luke Danes, the third main character, played by Scott Patterson, just recently started his own podcast called I Am All In with Scott Patterson. And it is such a great podcast. He interviews a guest, and so he's interviewing some of his co-stars. And then after he interviews them, then his production team interviews him, and he is watching his own show for the first time.
I like the rapid-fire questions,
too. Oh, yeah, love that. And because he's watching this for the first time, we're getting to get his initial reaction to what he thought of the show because he had never seen it. He's one of those actors that doesn't like to watch themselves, whatever the case may be. He explains it on his podcast. We're not going to give too many spoilers on that. We just want to tell you what our impressions are of his podcast. So we'll give you a couple of tidbits at the end of each episode.
Sorry about my brain fart, though.
No, you're fine. All right, so do you want to get into it?
Tends to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, it happens to all of us, right? Okay, so let's get into it. So this very first episode starts out with a classic, iconic song by Sixpence None the Richer, There She Goes. And this is a song that has been heard on movies like Girl Interrupted, The Parent Trap. I don't know, that kind of a lesser-known movie with... what's that guy who plays... Wayne and Garth.
Myers.
Yeah, Mike Myers. Yeah. It's a lesser known movie of his called So I Married an Axe Murderer. It's in that movie and yes. Cold Case, I Funny think. Movie. Yeah. So they chose that song to open it up. What do you think that says about the show just kind of starting out? There she goes again.
I think that sets the tone. I mean, it's obviously about Lorelai.
Oh, yeah. And the main character, Lorelai.
And her daughter, yes. Rory, and it centers around them. And when I first heard the song, I heard the song before I saw the show because first time seeing it was a couple years ago. So
I think it's kind of cool for them to open with a song that's immediately kind of mass appealing. Kind of draws you in.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of walking down the street, and I love how they immediately work in the sign that shows what city or little town that she lives in, Stars Hollow.
Looking back now, it's a different time period.
Yes.
So,
I mean, this was filmed back in the beginning of the 2000s.
A lot of culture references and...
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you'd have to know. We grew up during both phases, so you kind of know a lot more than, say, a younger viewer.
Right.
They'd be like, what are they talking about? So we're going to try to reference those a little bit as we go along.
That kind of reminds me, it's kind of funny, is that when the show first came out, I did not view it back then. You didn't view it back then.
No.
And there's a whole bunch of people.
We were
people,
just married at the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had other things
busy.
To think about. Yeah, we were busy.
Trying to survive.
Well, not just that. We were just kind of having our own little fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, newlyweds tend to do that. But, no, so at the time, we were not watching the show, but there's a whole crop of fans that were, you know, they were sad that the show ended after 7 seasons. And when Netflix came out most recently in the last 2 or 3 years with a revival show of A Year in the Life of Gilmore Girls, it kind of created a whole slew of new fans who had never seen the show before, including us, where we got to watch the entire show, and then we watched The Year in the Life revival, so we didn't have that big, long wait in between.
Which was nice.
Yeah, that was very nice. And we had to just binge everything from start to finish, so, I mean, it was really cool to...
Needless to say, my wife's all in. I finally relented. I'm all in.
Yeah, we're all in.
Yeah, we're all in. Shout out to Scott there.
Yep, shout out to Scott's podcast.
So, again.
At the beginning of the episode, it does pan from the main character walking down the street. It makes sure to show the sign, Stars Hollow, founded in 1779, immediately, so you get the setting and you know that she's in a small town. And it's supposed to be set in Connecticut, and it goes right on into where she goes into the coffee shop, which is one of the main...
Oh, God.
Well, this is one of the main settings of the show. She's either in the coffee house, in the inn, or someplace else soon to be disclosed.
She reminds me of Bill Murray and What About Bob? It's like when he's like, give me, I need, give me. She's strung out. She's like a coffee addict.
Yeah, so she goes into
her crack.
Yeah, she goes into this show. She goes up to the barista, the diner owner, who is Luke Danes, and he's played by Scott Patterson that we've mentioned before.
Oh, and he gives a little cake check there. He's simping hard.
Yeah, when she turns around and walks off, he definitely gives his eyeballs kind of give a little flash down to look at her
I'm
walk
giving
away.
The male perspective here, folks.
So. Oh, well, yeah, sure. So she goes up to him, and she's like, please, Luke, please. And he's like, how many cups have you had today? And she says, oh, just 5, but yours is so much better. So there's something wrong with you.
What's funny is I'm kind of like Luke, and my wife's kind of like Lorelai. I make a mean cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee for y'all out there, but she's addicted.
Yeah, I love coffee. So I wouldn't say I'm addicted.
Okay.
But I love coffee.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So we kind of relate right off the bat.
Yeah.
That was my first impression.
Right.
And then the creepers. Started.
Oh yeah, there's two creeper guys at the sitting at the counter, and one of them kind of follows her back to the table, and he's trying to hit on her, and he uses a creepy pickup line.
Oh, it's trolling.
Like she's
hard.
Taking a drink of her coffee, and he says, "You make that look really good," and I'm thinking to myself, "Yeah, how do you make drinking a cup of coffee look good?" I don't know. That just kind of struck me wrong.
First of all. Who's going to be trolling a bar like it's a bar when it's a school morning?
Right. It's
they're acting like
time.
It's a club setting or something.
Yeah.
And they're just coming on with these, you know, hey, you know, creepy. It's like a cringeworthy moment. I guess nowadays.
For him, it is.
It wouldn't fly nowadays. It was a different show back then, I guess.
Right. But she, it's really kind of funny, though, because he talks about how he's just passing through and traveling, and she refers to that. Here's first pop culture reference.
She's a master of the brush off here.
Oh, she is, but she's
and you're good at that, too. You can tell somebody to screw off with a smile, though. Thank you for it. I've seen it many times.
Oh, Lord. Well, yeah, that has been said. Yeah.
We'll talk about some of those later, I guess.
But she makes reference to Jack Kerouac and says, oh, yeah. You're regular Jack Kerouac, but... As it gets going, he basically kind of gets the clue that she's giving him the brush off, and he starts to walk away, and he says, well, you know, basically I'm going to get going, and one of my favorite lines of the episode is, oh, so soon? But it just kind of
He wasn't fazed by the daddy comment.
We didn't get to that yet.
Oh, he wasn't fazed by that. That's what struck me. I'm like, you know, if she was into it, he'd definitely be down for that action.
No, but... We're getting ahead of ourselves, though. She that is one of my favorite lines. Oh, so soon? And she does manage to brush him off. And I just thought, immediately, this tells you so much about the character. She's got that kind of understated sarcasm, and she says these lines so deadpan. It was great. Yeah. I just love that.
I'm a fan of sarcasm.
And as soon as he finally leaves, in walks her daughter, the other main character, which is played by Alexis Bledel. Yeah. Oh, I didn't mention that... Lorelai is played by Lauren Graham, which she's amazing.
Phenomenal.
But, yeah, she really is great.
With how beautiful. She delivers lines, the speed, the
oh my God.
Accuracy. I don't know how they... I don't prepare for that. I guess they rehearse. It might just be natural for her.
Well, you know, I've read her book, Talking as Fast as I Can. And in that book, and if you have not bought this book, you need to buy it. But buy the audiobook because she narrates it. And it's really great getting to hear her do it. Because she is talking very fast, and she explains everything about Gilmore Girls and her time there. And she said that, you know, normally a season episode on a regular show will have X amount of lines. And they had, like, double, sometimes triple the amount of lines in their scripts because they had to say them so fast. And she said it got worse as the seasons progressed, where they had to memorize these big, long dialogues, you know, and kind of deliver them rapid fire. But that is kind of what the show is known for. Yeah. And what makes it kind of interesting and funny, you know, so. Yeah.
Did we cover that scene?
Oh, well, so her daughter, Alexis Bledel, the character's name is Rory, she comes in, asks her mom for lipsticks.
Oh, yeah.
I love the lipsticks because she starts listing off all of these edible flavored lipsticks. Like, I've got watermelon, I've got grape, I've got, you know. And
you're the expert, I forgot.
Yeah.
But I'm just remembering what I recall from the scenes.
And Rory's so. Like, second pop culture reference, Rory's like, RuPaul doesn't need this much makeup. But it's, I don't know. And then she asks for her Macy Gray CD.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a neat shout out because later on, Macy Gray's song, is played in the
she's
episode.
She's had a few hits, but I don't think I own, it's like one of those artists where I don't think I've owned a CD. It's like I like one or two of their songs.
Yeah. But I've heard that song, I Try, in movies. Like, it was in that movie Picture Perfect with Jennifer Aniston and Kevin Bacon.
Well, nowadays you just download the songs you like.
Right.
If you don't, you know, back then I guess you bought the whole CD if it wasn't a single, you know.
Right. So, about the time they finish talking about makeup, the creeper comes back to the table and tries to hit on her little girl when she gets up to go get coffee for her daughter.
That's the daddy thing.
And this is a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And she gets up and goes to get coffee for her daughter, Rory. And, of course, she has another moment with Luke. And it's pretty clear early on. There's some chemistry there between her and Luke.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that a little bit more later. Oh, yeah. There's definitely the chemistry there. And then when she comes back to the table, the creeper is hitting on her daughter. And she's like...
Excuse me.
She's like, this is my daughter. And Rory's opening line is...
I have a friend.
Are you my new daddy? And yeah. I just... Oh, my gosh. Every time I hear that line, I laugh.
He's like, I got a friend. We're cool. Lorelai. I don't know what he was. He's some kind of kink there going on.
Yeah. Was he kind of suggesting a foursome?
Yeah, that's...
With a mother and a daughter?
This creeper needs... He needs to take a beat.
Lorelai looks at him and is like, she's 16. He's like, bye.
Yeah. I think if they were cool with it, he'd be cool with it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some really vibes going on there. Wouldn't slide a day, like I was saying.
That's kind of the end of the opening sequence, and it just kind of sets the stage really well, because you get the dynamic between the mother and daughter immediately, that they kind of play off of each other to get rid of those two guys, and then they also
have fluid banter about the makeup. So you get that impression.
Yes.
This is how household life is, Wilma.
They're very good with each other, almost like friends over the makeup. You know how you would talk about a CD.
Morning scene where they're just...
Yeah, that's their regular thing. And then you get the kind of chemistry check with the diner owner, Luke. And then it goes into the opening credits music, which is a song called Where You Lead.
And if you want to know
I will follow.
More about how they got their parts and everything,
his podcast, I Am All Women, Scott
Patterson. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, he explains.
He wasn't even supposed to be?
No, it wasn't even supposed to be a regular character. They were just kind of...
A couple of characters, we find out.
Yeah.
We're just...
Okay. And what's funny is I can't imagine the show without those characters.
Luke's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we've got the opening song, Where You Lead, I Will Follow, and I just think that's... it's Carole King and her daughter, and oh my gosh, don't kill me for this, but I cannot remember the daughter's name.
Don't ask me. Yeah, I'm not good with names.
But I do know.
I have my brain flash going on.
But I do know that it's sung by Carole King, who later in the series does actually make an appearance as a kind of somewhat regularly reappearing character. Not a regular character, but she kind of pops in here and there, you know, on various episodes. But I thought the Where You Lead, I Will Follow was kind of perfect, because it sets up that relationship between the mother and the daughter, and how they're not just a mother and a daughter, but they're friends, and they kind of just, well, where you lead, I'm going to follow, you know, I mean, that's pretty much says it all. But the next part is one of my favorite parts.
We're going to introduce Suki here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Suki.
So, well, no, actually, not even Suki yet.
Am I getting ahead again?
So it cuts over to where Lorelai works, and now she's all decked out in a nice outfit, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's not in her wintry coat and jeans.
Oh.
Now she's working at the Independence Inn. She's got her suit on. Yes.
Oh, I remember now.
And the front desk...
It's all coming back to me now.
Oh, yeah. The front desk manager, Michelle... is French Parisian, and he's played by Yannick Truesdale, who is coincidentally the first
true sarcasm of the show, right?
Oh my gosh, he's wonderful. I knew immediately he was going to be one of my favorite characters, and he remains one of my favorite characters.
He's the first interview on Scott Patterson's
podcast. But I mean, he is absolutely hysterical. His sarcasm was just perfection. Because the very first scene that you see him in, he's on the phone talking to a potential customer who's wanting to stay at the inn. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, we're completely booked. And he just keeps repeating it. And they must say, well, can you look? And at first he's like, no, I will not look. And then he puts the phone down. And then he picks it back up. I looked. No, I'm sorry. We're completely booked. And I just thought, oh, my God, he's
without great. Even looking, yeah.
No, yeah, he didn't even look. He just kept flipping through papers. And I was like, yeah, that's perfect. I loved the deadpan sarcasm.
Yes.
It was great.
And how he draws out his sentences. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then Lane is introduced. Lane is...
was Lane before that?
Yes, actually. Lane is Rory's best friend, who also lives in Stars Hollow. Wonderful Korean girl, 16 years old. But you can tell immediately what this girl is going to be like, because as she's walking to school with Rory, she's putting on a band t-shirt, which apparently it's pretty clear from the get-go that this is not allowed to be worn at home. You know, she cannot do that. She has a very strict home where rock music is, you know, considered evil. And she's talking to Rory about arranged dates for a hayride that she has to go to.
So is this where we meet? Is this before? We didn't meet Sookie yet.
Not yet.
So we met Miss Kim first.
Yes.
All right.
We just meet Lane first.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not remembering correct. So we meet Lane.
And I loved Lane. I love Lane from the get-go. She was just so cute. And you could tell this is one of those very strict-mommed daughters. I mean, you know.
Something's going on.
The complete antithesis to Lorelai and Rory.
Yes.
Her mother is extremely strict. And
so we did miss Kim then.
I don't know if you actually see. Now that I think about it, I don't remember if you actually see Miss Kim.
Well, I remember the scene.
Or if it starts out. Is it starting out where they just are walking down the street together? Rory and Lane.
I think
so. I don't think you actually see
Miss
Kim.
And then we go back to the kitchen?
I don't think we. They're on their way to school.
No, I mean.
Lane has just left her house, and she's putting on the band t-shirt so she'll be cool for school.
Okay.
And then they go to school, and they're talking about how Mrs. Kim has set her up for dates.
Well, I'm all mixed up right now.
You are?
Yeah. Because I thought we met Sookie there. Then we met Miss Kim, and...
Oh, no. Sookie is coming soon.
Okay.
But first they get into
school.
But
I do remember Miss Kim. She's...
Oh, yeah. We'll get into Miss Kim later.
She's total...
There is a lot to be said about Mrs. Kim.
Let's just say the way she does things and the way Lorelai does things, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a butthead, sir.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So, Rory's in school.
Okay.
And she's in class, and the teacher gives out an assignment for them to do. There are girls seated all around her. She's painting her nails, and they're doing the classic mean girls thing. You know, like, what's she doing, you know? And they're like... Somebody looks over. Oh, she's doing the assignment. And Rory just kind of smiles to herself.
Yeah.
So that kind of sets you up knowing that Rory is...
I didn't take that
very
as...
Very studious.
It's a small town. I didn't take that as...
they didn't know her.
They didn't know her. Because everybody knows everybody in a small town. I took that as, this is their routine. They knew she was going to do the work. But they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm doing my nail. I'm doing my listed. Oh, she's doing her assignment. Ha ha, it's an inside joke.
Right.
So that's how I took it.
And then Rory just kind of smiles to herself.
Yeah.
So you know.
Because it's happened before.
Exactly.
They know they're needling her, and she's like, yeah, whatever.
It kind of seemed like a
but that's a Rory.
Habit, a Book, habitual thing.
Bookworm.
That's Rory.
Yeah.
So you know immediately Rory is the studious type of person.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we flash back to the Independence Inn.
Okay, here we go.
And then...
Here we go.
Then Mark actually has a love-hate relationship with this next character.
And
that's why he's been so keen to get to her.
I loved her at the beginning of this first episode.
Let's be truthful.
No, very
his
good
first
friend.
Walked, his,
very, very good friend.
Oh, don't let him kid you.
No, very good friend. But I didn't think she was going to survive because I thought she was going to kill herself off.
Okay, no,
blow herself up in the
that's
kitchen
not all. Do not let him fool you. He did not like Sookie. There were times that he liked her, but most of the time he was like, oh my God,
it's not
Sookie.
A love-hate relationship. It's more like a like-hate relationship.
But you did say, though, that watching it again the second time...
I did know her as Tammy... And other films before Gilmore Girls, so that might have influenced me because seeing her as a you know, it just I didn't know
it was totally different than anything Melissa McCarthy,
which
has
speaks to her as an actress. So
well, we saw her in the movies that she's made at, you know before Melissa McCarthy,
The Spy.
Yeah,
and,
so she had become big in film.
Oh yeah.
And then here we are going back in time to before she became big in film.
Oh, it's Tammy.
Yeah. And we're seeing her in a completely different way, you know, because she's a totally different character than anything she's ever played.
But she didn't really start rubbing me wrong until I presumed that she didn't have Lorelai's best interests at certain times. My perspective, because it seemed like she was all for Luke, but then she would do something shady here and there, and it would just tick me off.
And I maintain that you just misunderstood
but
her.
But I will say this. Every one of the characters I will pick out per episode and hate on them.
This
and
is
that
true.
Gets a good conversation. And this is kind of why we started doing this, because it gets a little heated discussion going.
This is true. There is, at one point or another, he'll get mad at almost every character.
I try to stay away from Lorelai because... Wifey does not like that one. Nope.
I'm a diehard Lorelai fan.
And a happy wife is a happy life.
But now, just tell you, he will get off on this thing at some point or another during the course of a show. He will get to a point where he cannot stand the character, this character, that character, pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
I make the rounds, you know.
Until they redeem themselves in some way in his eyes.
Rotation, yes.
Right. So, at first, you know, I mean, he went back and forth and back and forth on Suki, but I think for the most part, he still couldn't stand Suki the first go around. But in this rewatch of the season one, episode one, you said...
She's a good friend.
She came across different to you.
Yeah, right? That's why I'm saying she's a good friend in this episode. Anybody would be lucky to have a friend like that.
Right. So, but we, as soon as you meet Suki, from the very first opening scene and shot of Suki, you already get the idea that she's just going to be completely clumsy.
She hurt her hand, and then the next scene you see her hand, she almost cuts it off.
Yeah, so she whacks her hand on the... it's just right off the bat. And all of her kitchen workers are going around putting, you know, like towels on top. Way. Yeah, they're trying to help
her. She almost burns her hand. She
she's about to grab a pot handle.
Yeah, the handle.
And one of the kitchen workers walks by and throws a towel over it just as she grabs it. I mean, it's like
grabbing
clockwork.
Stuff out of her way.
It's clockwork.
Yeah.
They're used to having to rescue her, but she still ends up
there's
getting
no
hurt.
There's no OSHA there. Let's just say that.
No, absolutely not. But then Lorelai walks in and reveals that Rory, her daughter, has been accepted to Chilton, which is apparently a very prestigious prep school for kids. So, you know, when...
we forgot about the iron skillet to the face. Isn't that right
before? Oh, yeah, she does hit somebody.
She injures one of her
work, as soon as Lorelai comes in and distracts her, she hits one of her prep workers.
She smacks him with the iron skillet, and then you see him, like... lingering off in the background, holding his head. That's why I was like, I didn't know she was gonna make it. But then Lorelai discusses with Suki the
fact that she missed out on so much, and she said, "This will be great because you know Rory's gonna get to have everything that I you know that she didn't have."
Wasn't there a line in there about her sleeping with the administrator or something?
Oh, she's reading the acceptance letter, and she says, "We're happy to welcome you to your daughter to Chilton Academy." And she looks at Suki and says, "I offered to do the principal."
I thought about Forrest Gump, where the principal comes out saying, "Your mother sure cares about your education, son," and he's like, "Ugh."
There were some parallels there. That was really funny. But Lorelai was joking.
And then Rory comes in and says, "What'd you do, sleep with
him?" "Did you sleep with the principal?" Yeah, so that just kind of also shows you how closely linked they think.
They talked about it before.
I'll
sleep with him if I have to.
But Rory is something, she's extremely happy, and she sees Lorelai happy when she comes in, and she says, "You look happy," and Lorelai's just grinning at her, and she's like, "Did you do something slutty?"
Yeah, exactly. She knows.
She knows her mom.
Roy knows.
So when Lorelai whips out her her outfit for school, and it's this like white shirt with the blue plaid skirt, and she says, "Look, you know," and Rory's like, "I'm gonna be in a Britney Spears video."
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a nice little pop culture reference there.
So we get the master plan.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Summary right there.
But Rory makes it very clear how excited she is. I mean, she's going around telling everybody. She's calling Lane. She's telling Lane. You know, they're having conversations about how excited she is. You know, her mom's gonna, "Oh, I'm gonna hem your dress." Blah 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 blah. So I mean, it's great. And
she'd do anything for her daughter. It's awesome.
And then of course we get another taste of Michelle before the scene is over, where it kind of goes back out to him, and he does this wonderful line that is one of my favorite lines of this episode, where he says, "People are particularly stupid today. I can't talk to any more of them." And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is my guy. I love Michelle.
When they celebrate in Chilton, and
yes,
there's a fire, and then
one of the kitchen workers puts it out with a pot. Yeah,
Chilton fire, save.
So, I think the next scene is where Lorelai's actually on the phone with the school because she's looked at how much money it's going to cost to put her daughter through Chilton. And she's like, that's a lot of money after that five. Those are a lot of zeros after that five. And she says, and I haven't had time to do a bank job yet. And
wait, so, I just remember, wasn't that the before that when Michelle was on the, wasn't he's like, I can't talk to idiots, wasn't that?
No, that comes after.
Oh, that was after. Yeah,
this,
okay.
This comes after she's already gone home for the day.
Okay.
So she's left the inn, and now she's on the phone with the school.
Okay,
and,
okay.
And so she's...
Oh, that's the no money. I got no money from Chilton, and...
Yes. So immediately...
Oh, that's
you,
the...
You got the conflict set up.
Is that
up
when
where,
she was on the phone with the...
With the school.
Yeah, and she was like...
I haven't had a chance to set up a
bank job.
Or to pull a bank job yet.
And the administrator says something. She's like, what do you think bank job means? And I was like...
That's where you actually go and steal money from the bank.
I was like, what are they thinking? BJ's going, handing out here? Well, get your mind out of the gutter, people.
Wow.
Like, I think that's how she looked at the phone, like, oh my God.
Yeah. But, yeah, so then it kind of... It's Lorelai and Suki talking, and they're trying to figure out how she's going to pay for it. And Suki's like, well, you know, I think there's really only one option that you have. And she says, no, I am not going to go there. And it makes it pretty clear that there's something there that she doesn't want to have to do or face or whatever. She's going to figure it out, you know, to figure out a way to get her daughter through school. But she is not going to do whatever that is. And it's not revealed yet in that particular scene with Suki as they talk about it. But I don't know. It is kind of funny. She keeps kind of cutting Suki off. She mentioned something about... No, I equate that with a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. And, like some of those novels are like Misery, The Shining, and The Stand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so obviously as you're watching this, you're thinking, dang...
That must be hell on earth.
Whatever this option is, it must be pretty bad.
But she would do anything for Rory, so let's see how that works out, you know?
Right? But, so Rory goes off to school the next day. She's still extremely excited about going to Chilton. She's excited about getting her skirt hemmed, you know, all that. So it makes it very clear that she's very excited. And then the next thing you see is Lorelai sitting on the bumper of her Jeep. And she's kind of parked on the road outside of this big gate. And you can see this big sprawling mansion estate. And she's drinking coffee. And she's just kind of sitting there contemplating. So you can tell that...
She's at the precipice of hell.
She's contemplating her
doom
next...
and gloom.
Yeah. She's thinking about her next move, and she's thinking to herself, I do not want to do this.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Having to do something for someone else and put them ahead of us that we didn't want to.
But it speaks well of her character that she will... This is something that she equates to a Stephen King novel, but to get her daughter through school, she's willing to do anything.
Face your fears, right?
Right. She's willing to do whatever it takes. And apparently, whatever
Suki was there again. Suki was a good friend and
Suki
supporting
her.
Her
right way.
She's without forcing it. She kind of said, "You know what you got to do." Yeah.
And she didn't want to hear it, but she ended up doing it. And how many times have I done that for my daughter or my son? You know. So I mean, that's what you kind of meant earlier when you said you can see yourself.
Yeah.
In almost every character.
Looking a way. At a second run through, I'm appreciating that about her now.
Yeah.
So
we find out that what the horrible thing is going to her parents.
It's strained at best.
Oh my gosh.
So very relatable.
I mean, the mother...
For me, personally.
The mother opens the door and says, Lorelai, this is a surprise. Is it Easter already?
Yeah.
So immediately you get the sense, these people do not see each other except on major holidays.
Yes. Me, not even that on my side. I very relate to this. Even worse for me.
Yeah.
So, I understand completely. That's how I'm saying. You can find something about this show that personally relates to you or someone you know.
Well, and it kind of endears the characters to you more because you're like, that's me.
Yep.
I've been through that, you know? So, I mean, it's just, it's really cool. And I think a lot of people can relate to the Lorelai character because, you know, a lot of people have strained relationships with members of their family. And so they can kind of really relate to that. I relate to that as well to a certain extent. I've got some extended family that, I used to have some extended family anyway, that, kind of reminded me of her mother, in this show. And it was kind of like, wow, I really see myself there. And then anytime Lorelai and Rory, her daughter, would interact, I would be kind of like, oh my God, that's so me and my daughter. You know, so it's just, yeah, it's a lot for everyone.
When you go to family, you shouldn't feel afraid or ashamed to go to family for help.
Or like you're having to swallow your pride, yes, or diminish yourself.
We received help, and I'm not going to ask for help, and it was very touching. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, we had some family members that helped us out at one time. And, I mean, we were kind of screwed at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And if they hadn't helped us, we would have been in a world of hurt. And they helped us out of the goodness of their heart. And
they didn't hold it over us.
They didn't. They didn't hold it over us. We actually went to pay them back, and they refused to be paid back.
They did it out of love.
Yes, they did it out of love. And they refused to be paid back. And it was...
That touched me.
Yeah, it was very touching. But, so not everybody's like that, but... you do have those family members that you have maybe a gulf between you.
And then that's when we meet Emily for the first time.
Yes.
Speaking of that.
As soon as I saw Emily, But when they first sit down together, it was just a very stilted conversation. It makes it clear that these are two people that just don't talk. I mean, it's already established they only see each other probably on holidays, but... they don't even know how to talk to each other. It's like they're strangers.
Yeah. It's Easter, huh? Yeah.
And then the dad comes in.
Oh. And, is it Christmas?
And he asks immediately, is it Christmas already? So that just reinforces.
Only holidays.
Yeah. It reinforces the belief, you know, that they only see each other at holidays.
Strained relationship.
Very strained relationship. And you're like, it starts giving you questions in your head, like, what the heck happened to this family? You know, immediately you start to think things like that. And the dad instantly asks, you need money.
Oh, God.
And he says it like 3 times in a row.
You need money.
He says it so smugly.
Yeah.
You know, you're and here then, for money. And then you need money.
And then she's like, just hear me. It's for Roy. So you need money.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even hear it.
Yeah. And you can tell after he says this 3 times, when she finally admits that she needs money, the look on her face... you could almost see her swallowing pride down like it was a drink of water. I mean, just her whole demeanor changes.
Emily's over there plotting, hatching her little scheme for leverage so she can get something out of it.
She's got this look on her face that's so scheming and manipulative. I mean, if somebody could bear a look of manipulation, it would be Emily in that moment. I mean, you can see it all over
her face.
What's
the movie you can't stand?
There's quite a few of those.
Well, for me, one I subjected you to, Battlefield Earth, Leverage, Rat Brain.
Yes, oh my gosh. How many times have I had to listen to that line over the years?
I love it.
Ever since you
While you were still learning to spell your name, I was watching
that movie. Oh my God. No, you always miss out on that.
Spell your name.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get back to it.
If you've not seen that movie, I don't recommend it, but he probably would.
Oh, yeah.
Mark would recommend it. Five stars for
low writing skill.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, she explains that she's only doing
this. John Travolta at his best.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. So, Lorelai, you know, she explains that she's only doing this for Rory, but, you know, the look on her face when she accepts, it just says it all. She's dropping the last vestiges of her pride, and she just has this deflated look on her face.
Oh yeah,
it's just evident. You know, her spirit is just kind of deflating, and she just looks defeated. And
so we get to the
she immediately says
strings
and she says it immediately. You know, it's not me; it's for Rory, and they acknowledge that she. Oh, of course, you never asked for favors. So I'm thinking, well, why would that be a bad thing? Why would Emily, her mother, react badly to the fact that she never asked for favors? You know, I mean, she's making it sound like that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, but
immediately goes into,
yeah,
oh, well, you're going to have to call me.
There are going to be conditions. There's going to be conditions, you know. Okay, we'll give you the money, but there will be conditions. We want a Friday night dinner every Friday.
And what? And like,
and once a week phone
and
call.
And I'm sitting there thinking, like, Friday night's like a date night for teenagers, and
well, not just that.
The most inconvenient night you could pick.
Well,
probably.
Yeah, but not just that. You're committing yourself to every single Friday night. You know, I mean, that's
fertility.
That's a lot.
Eternity.
I don't see any member of my family every single
demanding.
Week.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's
and the phone call on top of that.
She's like, yeah, and I want a weekly phone call, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, well, we'll look forward to that, fucker.
That must be a real treat for her. So, like, that's kind of like a bonus.
And in case you missed, in case you missed that reference, I was actually talking about the movie Meet the Parents. But
oh yeah,
yeah, and that's actually one of my favorite movies. But Robert De Niro saying, "Well, we'll look forward to that, Greg."
Yeah, you already know.
But so after they've given their conditions, and Lorelai very defeatedly agrees to them, she looks up to the left, up on the wall, and there's a picture of a young Lorelai herself.
I want to give kudos to the writers
and the filmmakers for doing this the way they did.
And you know the names.
Oh, yeah. Amy Sherman Palladino and her husband, Dan Palladino.
Thanks
they were
for
the
that.
Yeah. They were the makers.
That's what you're here for.
No, thank you. Is that all I'm here for?
Okay. It helps. It really helps.
But they're the ones. They were the creators of the show, and they wrote most all of the episodes.
It perfectly captured
oh,
the
my
scene
gosh. That picture was perfect.
Without words.
Oh, yeah.
It panned up. You could see.
Lorelai looks up at it. It's perfect.
Yeah. He was, like, stoic. Richard. Emily was delighted with herself, and Lorelai was miserable.
A young Lorelai, yeah. Maybe about 12, 13
and
years old.
And then it pans back to her growing up, and she's miserable still.
Right.
Dealing with him.
But it kind of encapsulates their relationship, but also the scene that she just had to endure.
She was forcing the smile, but it turned.
Yeah, so that was very, it was very smart filming the way that they did that. But, yeah, so next we, I think the very next scene is Rory is in school, and she's packing up her locker because it's her last day at her regular high school. And she is still talking to Lane excitedly about the fact that she's going to Chilton. Lane goes off to do Lane things. And then as Rory is walking out with her box, she bumps into someone. And it is a boy. And
The mysterious Dean.
And immediately, I mean, he makes a Rosemary's Baby. She makes a Rosemary's Baby reference that he gets.
And he's surprisingly, he's actually seen that movie.
Right, yeah. And she's got this look on her face like, oh my gosh, he gets me.
Yeah.
You know, so you can tell that she's kind of enthralled by him a little, and they start walking together, and she's kind of nervously rambling, and I don't know.
He was straightforward, he shot a shot, you know.
First impression of Dean, you know, he mentions needing to get a job, she tells him where to go to check, they're walking out together and kind of walking down the street. And
now, this gave me some stalker vibes right here.
Yeah, my first impression of Dean, I think we both talked about the fact that he kind of came across, we were a little impressed by the fact that he
shot
he
a
needs
shot.
A job,
yeah, he's confident.
He's responsible,
yeah.
He's confident, he kind of went after Rory, he comes
he's
off
the
a,
new guy, of course
right?
He's interested.
So he comes off a little mysterious.
She really didn't notice him, really, but then.
But then he makes this comment. I mean, he's straightforward and everything, and it's interesting, but I kind of immediately wondered, why would a guy like Kim be interested in a girl like Rory? Because they're completely polar opposites, you know?
Well, first he says
and then he makes the comment that he had been watching her.
She's hot.
He's hot.
Then,
yeah, she's hot.
Then her intensity or something like that found attractive. And
yeah.
I was like, really?
He tells a story about a book that he was reading out on the
guys
quad.
Guys were playing and bloody, and she didn't even look up or something.
And I said to myself, I've got to meet a girl who can, any girl that could read that intensely, I have to meet her. So I've been watching you.
I took a different take on it. I was thinking he wanted somebody that focused on him, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I
so,
took away.
So wow,
from
any
it.
Girl that can focus that intensely, I want to meet her.
But Rory,
so because she maybe she'll focus that intensely on me.
Yeah, but Rory even said herself, maybe I'm just self-centered.
Maybe I'm
I think she pegged that one.
Pegged herself?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, there are times throughout the show.
And she didn't care.
There are times throughout the show that you kind of do think
it wasn't that, that Rory's selfish. I just didn't care.
I mean, I love Rory. Don't get me wrong.
It revolves around her.
Rory is one of my favorite characters.
She sees her mistakes later, but
at the time,
it's her.
She does come across very selfish. So maybe she was self-aware and kind of pegged herself. As we'll see
later in the episode.
Right. But, so Rory then, you know, you see Rory back with her mom at that point, and she's got a completely different persona around her mom now.
The first thing I like
they're
this.
At Luke's.
I like this. First thing, she's like, we got to go to dinner with moms, and she's like, what holiday's in September? Yeah. I love that.
That was great, because that lets you know it's not just Lorelai.
They all know the deal.
Yeah. So she says, it's just nothing big. It's, you know, we're just going to go over there. And she doesn't mention anything to Rory about the money, the fact that she's made a deal about the money.
Yep.
But that's when Rory starts to question, well, maybe we really shouldn't be spending the money right now. And she's kind of got this little dude going on, you know. And Lorelai even asks her, hey, what's with the dude? And she's like, she's kind of brushing it off. And all of a sudden, she's not excited about going to Chilton anymore. And she even kind of drops the bomb in her mom's face that, you know, she doesn't want to go. And she's like, where's this coming from?
Okay, they're both hiding stuff from each other. So I'm
she's
like...
She's hiding from Rory the fact that she went to get money.
So I'm like...
And then Rory's hiding the guy from her.
Shady say what?
Right. Exactly. Because they're both... They are
no
both hiding
Chilton?
Something.
Where's this come from?
Right. Why are you not wanting to go to Chilton?
And why are you wanting to go to dinner with mom? What's going on there?
Right. So they're both kind of hiding something from each other. And you kind of get the feeling as you're watching that scene that this is unusual. That there aren't many times that the two of these people hide anything from each other. They're very close. They have a very close mother-daughter bond.
But this sets the precedent that Rory is out. When things don't go her way, she acts out.
Yeah, she'll start hiding things from
her mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she tells her everything.
Lorelai will hide things from her to keep her safe.
Yeah.
But Rory will just hide things from her mom whenever it's self-serving.
And that goes back to her self-centered comment.
Right, that's true.
Hello.
So maybe she was self-aware and begged herself.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lorelai is obviously upset at the reaction about Rory not wanting to go to Chilton now because she had just made the ultimate sacrifice of going to her parents and groveling to beg for money.
And I know why she don't want to tell her mom, because... You don't base your decisions on men. Lorelai's always told her this.
Exactly.
I'm assuming.
So they leave Luke's diner, and they're walking down the street, and they walk past Miss Patty's dance studio, and I'm terrible.
She gives
I don't know the actress that plays Miss Patty off the top of my head.
She gives every excuse.
Oh, yeah. She gives every excuse.
Except the real issue, underlying issue, she's great at deflecting.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
She throws it back on her mom.
Because what kind of kid worries about finances? Because she's starting to talk about.
Do we really need to be spending that money right now? Well, that's her mom's business, not hers.
Dean, no children.
Yeah.
That's in her head.
She was so excited up until the very moment she met Dean.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after meeting
Dean. Out the window.
Don't, she doesn't want to go to Chilton anymore.
I'm the only one thinking, you can go to Chilton, but date him. You don't have to be in the same school.
Right, it's not
somebody.
Like you're going to disappear off you the face
there.
Of the earth. You live there, and he does too.
That just seemed kind of weird to me. I don't know.
No, I'm with you on that.
You don't give up your dream, and especially if you live there.
Well,
it's not like you're going cross country.
Their whole plan, as Lorelai earlier in the
episode. But kids don't think, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't.
But
you're ruled by your hormones.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And her hormones gave her a big dose.
Of Dean.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was digging on Jimmy Dean.
Right. But even early on in the episode, when Lorelai is first talking to Suki about the fact that her daughter got into Chilton, she says she's finally going to be able to do the things that I never got to do. She's going to be able to graduate. She's going to be able to go to a Harvard, this wonderful university. That I didn't get to do, that she's been dreaming about since she was 3 years old.
But that's what all parents want for their children.
Sure. They want the best. They want
more than they ever had.
They want anything that they didn't get to have. That's what I wanted for my kids.
Yeah.
But, so they're walking down the street now, and they run into Miss Patty. And Miss Patty says, "Oh, I talked to your young male friend, and I told him, yeah, and I told him where he could find a job."
That's my girl, Miss Patty. She knows all the dirt. She knows all the dirt. She tells all.
Yes. And Rory gets this very uncomfortable look on her face and tries to make excuses to get away from Patty very quickly. Because she knows her mom is smart and not a dummy.
Cold-busted.
And her mom says...
you can't hide, something like that.
What was it that she said? Lorelai's face kind of reflects a, aha, now we're getting down to it. Rory's face looks like, oh, crap. And then she says to her... you'll have to turn into Flojo to get away from me, because Rory's trying to walk away really fast.
Love it.
Yeah, that was great.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah. So they get home, and she says, I get it. This is all about a boy.
Didn't they go by the hayride?
Oh, they're walking home, and they see Lane.
Miserable.
At the end of the hayride, what do you call that thing? Flatbed?
Yeah.
Is it flatbed?
Well, hayride.
Hayride. And on either side of her are these two Korean boys around her age, and she looks absolutely miserable.
And they're miserable.
And the
shout out to King George Strait here, one of my faves.
Oh, yeah.
The Heartland song. And
it's all peppy,
you know, and they're all miserable. Love it.
Yeah, it's a cheerful song playing in everybody's face. They all look like sour
pusses. I just love stuff like that.
No, I think it was funny. But they get home, and she's like, I get it. So this was all about a boy. I should have guessed, because I forgot. You're me. And I thought, oh, that's great. Your daughter is you. And that's always how I feel about my daughter. Anytime I ever saw her make a mistake.
You got to learn the hard way.
I know.
I hate that.
I thought to myself when I would see my daughter making some of the same mistakes that I made, and I was thinking to myself, could you just not make the same mistakes as me? And I'm like, what, do they have a checklist with all of your mistakes? And they're just like, okay, I did that mom did wrong. I did this one that mom did wrong.
It reminds me of later in one of the...
And my son was the same way.
Far out episodes, she's talking about touching the stove, the devil's hands, you know. But she's like...
She said, I used to tell her it was the devil's hands.
Yeah, I remember that stuck out. That stood out to me. But it's like...
You do whatever you can do to get them to not...
It's like...
To learn the lesson fast. Like,
if you're wise, you'll listen to me. If you make the mistake, don't do it again. But if you keep going back, I can't help you. There's nothing to be done.
Right.
You know?
But Lorelai continues to say things that make it clear that she feels that she ruined her life over a boy.
Oh, I loved Lorelai's line there. If you're gonna...
Does he have a motorcycle?
Yeah, if he doesn't have a motorcycle, if you're gonna throw your life away, he better have a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That was great. But then...
she plays the mom card.
She tries to talk to Rory.
Yeah.
And she says, all right, Rory, talk to me. And Rory will have none of it. Rory's, like, shutting her down, which you get the feeling immediately that this has never happened, you know? And she's like, we've always had a democracy in this house. You know, none of us did any, we didn't do anything unless we both agreed. And, I mean, I know some people will say, well, what kind of parenting is that? But if you can have your child's agreement, you know, and get your child to agree with you, then... Why not try that? You know, if you can get their agreement, so much the better, because then they'll feel like it was their idea, they agreed to it, and they'll be more likely to do it that way. If you try to just kind of order them around, and please, parents out there that are listening to me, if you parent differently, that's your thing, and you can have that. This is just my opinion, but if you can at any time get your child to agree to what you want, I think it often works out better than if you just dictate. So if you can talk it through with them, I mean, I did that with my son and daughter, and it didn't always work, but sometimes it did. And when it did, it was smoother sailing. But, you know, she was like, I'm not going to go to Chilton. And she's like, all right, look, we've always been in agreement before, but now I'm going to have to play the mom card. And she said, you're going to Chilton. And Rory's like, we'll see. And Lorelai's like, yep, we will. And she leaves and slams the door. And Rory immediately turns on the radio, and it's Macy Gray's song, I Try.
Same song.
And then Lorelai's upstairs in her room and turns on the radio, and it's Macy Gray, I Try. So they're just like two peas in a pod. I mean, it's really kind of cool. But I don't know. It's you know, the next day, Rory's still kind of treating her like,
yeah,
like crap, and she's like, "Are you going to give me the mommy dearest treatment forever?"
Oh yeah, the whole well, that Suki, didn't she blow up a stove or something?
I think Suki blows something up. She's always blowing something up.
It's just like
up.
Their relationship blew up. It's like metaphorically, you know, and they never fight. You know, is what the conversation was. You know, we never fight. We, you don't. You know, and Rory, she's like, she has it so bad. You know, and that's why I was like. Yeah, the whole no more work hangers thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, you just, everything that
it's
has...
It's not that bad, kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
when you're a teenager, it's the end of the world. Everything's the end
if
of the world.
If you don't get your way, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But you got the feeling through three-fourths of the episode up to this point that she and her mom, Lorelai, are not just a mother and a daughter. They are also best friends. So they haven't had big clashes like this before. That's just the feeling that you get. So this is new and different, and it's a challenge to their relationship that they're now going to have to weather, you know? So I thought that was kind of interesting.
First little hiccup.
First hiccup, and granted, that is
chinking their chains.
16 years old, yeah, you know, that's when...
It's expected to happen.
Sure. You know.
First love, crush,
so then we go on to first dinner. So dinner, this is the very first Friday night dinner. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, hell, it's the dinner from hell.
Oh, my gosh. So, immediately,
well, they're,
you know,
standing out there freezing.
Yeah.
And I don't get this Matchbox. I get the Matchbox girl.
The little match girl.
Yeah, the little match girl. I get that.
Rory makes a reference like, are we going to just stand here inventing the little match girl?
Why do you think she said that reference? I thought Lorelai should have said that, but that was just me.
I don't know. I mean,
it could have went both ways.
Did she mean, are we just going to stand out here and freeze to death? Because isn't the little match girl a story about a girl that would light matches to try to warm other people, and she ended up freezing to death?
Yes, and her grandmother took her to heaven.
Yes.
But they found her dead the next morning.
Right.
And I'm like... Somehow that didn't make the Christmas cut, you know, like a Christmas carol. I don't hear that every year. It's not an uplifting tale to tell, you know.
So I wasn't quite...
Maybe that's what she meant. I don't know. They're like, she'd rather be dead than to be standing there with her. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
I don't
do you guys
it.
Think?
That one kind of baffled me.
Let us know.
Yeah, write in. If you kind of get that reference and you understand why they said that, feel free to email us.
That's how I took it.
At our new email that I have yet to create, which I'll create tonight, which is readysetstream@gmail.com.
Hopefully,
if it's not taken. And Lorelai looks at her and says, look, let's just go in. Let's get this dinner over with. You can pull a Menendez on the way home.
So dinner's first, kill later.
Right. Okay. Right. I love the Menendez reference, but
yeah,
it was probably a little bit in poor taste. But then Emily opens the door.
Look that up, kids, for y'all that don't know.
Yeah, anybody that doesn't know what the Menendez reference is.
I don't want to talk about that too.
Yeah, let's keep it light. but anyway, so Emily welcomes them in, passes out drinks, everybody's there. You know, Richard, Emily, Lorelai, Rory. And Emily
says...
The
underhanded slaps about...
Immediate. Oh, it's so... what does she say? It's not every day that I have my girls here on a day the banks are open. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, rubbing it in your face at every turn. Here we go.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. So they have their dinner, and immediately the dad... Emily asks her... about her business and says something to Richard about how Lorelai is manages an inn now.
And immediately.
Yes. Richard said, speaking of success, did you hear about Christopher?
Oh, God.
And Lorelai's like, why is that a speaking of? And he immediately starts talking about Rory's father, who's apparently named Christopher, which we haven't met yet. And she is immediately... offended because he's waxing eloquent over the
and
fact
Rory,
that
Rory must take after him.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He made the comment. He's doing so well. He's so successful. You must take after him, Rory.
I give that.
Which was a huge slap in the face to Lorelai.
I give that 2 thumbs up. It's excellent.
Thumbs up as in a bad way.
Yes. Sarcasm there.
But this is somebody. Lorelai,
A for effort.
This is, you know, Lorelai has clawed her way up to being what she is today, which I would call a big success. I know it's something that I had to do.
From May to being the running of an inn.
Yeah. And I did something similar. I started out as the receptionist of a company, and I worked my way up into executive management, you know, as an executive director.
You go, girl. Toot, toot.
Thank you. But it goes to show there's a lot of women, and men even out there. Well, there are men in this situation, too, that start off, they may not have a degree, and they work their way up.
Well, back up,
you know,
back up.
And that's a success.
When Richard was talking about what he does for a living, what did he say? They die, we pay.
Oh, how's the insurance company going, Dad? Or Granddad? Yeah. And he says, oh, people die, we pay. People crash cars, we pay. People lose a foot, we pay.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And she says, Lorelai says, at least you have your new slogan.
Yeah, hashtag new slogan there, Richard. That was great.
I love that.
That was gold.
But as soon as he says to Rory, Christopher's so successful now, you must take after him, Rory. Lorelai takes that as a big slap in the face. She gets up for the table and excuses herself and goes out. And Rory's about to follow her, but instead Emily does.
Oh, yeah.
And Emily goes into the kitchen where she has gone to and...
Where they think that Rory can't hear.
Right. But Rory can actually hear every word.
Immediately, she's like,
Are you going to take everything we say wrong?
Yeah, why are you being so dramatic? And I'm like, so being real is being dramatic. I hate when people do that.
Yeah, I do too.
You get real with somebody and they're like, oh, you're just being drama queen or something. Oh, that ticks me off.
Yeah, that ticks me off too. That's happened to me before. And the sound that you just heard was my water falling all over the place. But luckily it was close, so no water got anywhere.
All Lorelai heard in that whole conversation was disappointment.
Oh, absolutely. But it was kind of sad. And then her mom follows her in there, and she says, you know, I think you took what your dad said wrong. And she's like, well, how else am I supposed to take it? And I agree with that. How else was she supposed to take it? That's exactly how I would have taken it.
Oh, and they're talking about, you accepted this. At least you have your pride. And I'm like, she didn't accept it for her. She accepted it for Rory.
But then the mom starts jumping down her throat and saying, you took that girl away from us and you cut us off entirely. And she said, if you had just married Christopher, when you get pregnant, you get married. So then the story comes out. She was 16, got pregnant with Rory.
Yeah. And she didn't do the right thing.
In their eyes, she did not do the right thing and marry Christopher. And she says, you all had such bright futures. And she said, and by not getting married, we got to keep those bright futures.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not advocating either way, but there's something to be said for that kind of mindset, because A, Lorelai was miserable. She did not want to stay there. She was being smothered in that household. And B, she did get to keep a future where she got to be her own person and figure out who she wanted to be outside of the grandeur of her family's home. And Christopher got to go on to do other things too.
That life just wasn't for her.
That life wasn't for her. It's not what she wanted. And instead,
she chose a different path.
She paved her own way.
They didn't let her. They didn't want to let her.
No.
So she had to go.
And then that's when it comes out. You're not too proud to come and ask for money for your... I wasn't too proud to come and ask you for money for my daughter's schooling. And then it immediately pans to Rory and her head whips around.
So,
and she realizes exactly what's happened now.
But
her mom...
Credit to Rory when she knew the whole facts.
Yes.
They always keep things from this show, you know, which leads to a lot of the misunderstandings.
But that is to Rory's credit. As soon as she heard that and when they left, she completely changed her tune.
And that's a pattern, too.
That is a pattern for Rory throughout the show.
And she'll admit it.
She will admit it. She's good at that.
And turn around.
She may sometimes be selfish, make the wrong choices, pull away from her mom when she knows she's doing something her mom wouldn't agree with. But later, she does always come back and say, and correct the mistake and say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it that way or whatever she says.
So
she decides, yes, I'm going to go to jail.
But at that same time, it pans to Richard and he's peacefully slumbering in his chair.
Oh, yeah.
As all this is going on.
Yeah, they're fighting.
He did his damage.
Yeah.
And then he took a nap.
Emily and Lorelai are fighting in the kitchen. Rory's listening and hanging on every word, and Richard's over in his chair with his head thrown back asleep. Mouth wide open and
catching
snoring.
Flies. Yeah.
I did my damage. I'm just going to take a nap here.
So that's his. He's like the. Yeah. He wants to get the drama going.
I stirred the pot. I'm going to sit upon here and just take a nap.
Yeah.
But then they leave and they go to Luke's, which I love the fact that it kind of comes full circle. The show opens. The pilot opens with Luke Steiner and ends with Luke Steiner.
Let me just say this. Luke cleans up well. No cap.
Yes.
Game strong. He did.
Lorelai is sitting at a table with Rory after they had just come in from having been at Friday night dinner. And Luke comes over to their table. He's wearing a nice Oxford shirt, you know, with his jeans. He's not wearing a cap. He's all shaven and clean and everything. He's not wearing a cap. And when she looks up at him, she says, "You look really nice." And there's that chemistry again.
Oh,
you see it immediately.
That comment about...
Oh, no. Wait. He says, "You look really nice, too." And she says, "I had a flagellation to go to."
Before that, I wanted to...
I love that.
I wanted to go back for a minute and talk about when they were leaving, she said she felt small. And
yes.
And I felt that
was... Oh, good catch.
To me, that was just her feeling demoralized and put in her place.
She said, "I feel shorter. Do I look shorter?"
Yeah.
Something like
that's
that.
That's how I took it. She felt small.
She felt diminished.
Yes, beat down.
Which, that was a sad comment to me. It was said in a funny manner, but it's still a sad comment because it was true.
Yeah, and, what did she say? They were talking about the flagellants for those.
Yeah, Luke, she tells Luke that he looks really nice, and she says it in such a way that, like, there's stars in her eyes that she's looking at him. So you can tell that chemistry is really there. And he gives her a grin, and he says, "I had to go to the bank." And he said, "You look really nice, too." And there's this, like, this flirty moment between them. And she breaks it with this funny remark, "I had a flagellation to go to."
So for those of you who don't know, the flagellants movement, not talking about passing gas there.
Yeah, not flatulence.
Yes.
We're not talking flatulence. Flagellants
movement was a medieval religious sect that practitioners demonstrated their fervor and sought atonement of their sins by vigorously whipping themselves with various instruments while chanting. End of history lesson there.
If you've ever seen Game of Thrones, you've seen this. I can't remember what season it was, but there is a group of people who do it in what's the name of the major city? Is it Hart's Landing in Game of Thrones?
So.
I think so. I'm sure there will be tons of people who will correct us if we're wrong.
Well, it's like the Hunger Games, you know, for those of you who don't know.
Right. But, yeah, there's a group of people, of religious people in that show that go down the streets doing it to themselves.
So, basically, self-mutilating herself, prostrating herself.
And whipping herself. Yeah.
For the sake of her daughter.
For the sake of her daughter.
Yes. At the hands of her parents.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that was pretty much the end of the show, but I kind of loved the fact
that... The whole thing there, at the end, them two, we are one.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to face this together.
Yep, I love
so
that.
We got to each other's backs.
It opened in Luke Steiner. It ended in Luke Steiner. They'd come full circle, and they were together in the beginning, just playing off of each other perfectly, like they were in total sync, and they ended the show... playing off each other in total sync with the mom saying, "So tell me about the guy. So tell me about the guy. So tell me about the guy." So I thought that was kind of cute and fun. And it was just a really good opener. All of the conflict is set up. You know that there are issues with the family that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of this show.
Yeah, not sure if I was... hooked yet, but it was enough to keep you going, to get you to that point.
It was
point.
Enough to make you want to say...
Piqued your interest.
Yeah, it piqued your interest, and it was enough to make you say, "Oh, I'm going to try out the second episode and see." And that's why we always kind of tell people, give it two or three episodes, three preferably, because then you'll be more hooked.
Which, if there's people that refuse to do it, any hostile streamers out there, we're talking to you.
Yes.
And if you know of any, sick them.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I don't know, it's just a really good show. I liked the opener. Now, Scott Patterson.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about his podcast for a second.
Very briefly. Very informative. If you want to know about, he interviews each cast member he's going to. And he starts out with Michelle. What's the actor's name?
Oh, Yannick Truesdale. Yeah. Love him.
Thank you.
He does start off with Yannick Truesdale. And Yannick is funny. He really is.
And we're not going to give anything away. We want you to listen to it. We might talk about it in our next touch on it a little bit, what we liked about it.
Well, I think the things that stood out to the podcast for me on Scott Patterson's I Am All In, first episode of his podcast, is the interview with Yannick is very good because he talks about how he got the part as Michelle, what Yannick's favorite moments were,
what
he's up to now, so you got to find out, and who he's still in contact with, which was great.
I will say this. Because
you often wonder, when they leave a show, do they keep in touch? And you get to find that out. Yeah.
And I will say this, they all want more Gilmore, and we want more Gilmore.
Yes, they were both saying that they wanted more.
We're all in agreement.
But then on the second half of the podcast, there are people on his show that interview Scott, and they ask him how he got the job. And his answer and his explanation of how he got his job as Luke Dane's character was fascinating to me. So, I mean...
Fascinating.
absolutely fascinated. But, no, seriously, though, I was fascinated by how his explanation about how he got the role. And he didn't
almost
mention...
Almost didn't happen.
It almost didn't. And he said that, you know, it was sort of a temperature check, kind of a chemistry check between him and Lauren in the pilot, just to see if there was anything there.
And if he wasn't happily married,
it was there. Let me tell you, it was there.
Yeah.
But
there might be something there.
Oh, absolutely.
He did have a crush on her. Well, I will say that.
And then he ends it off by doing a very short little interview with Macy Gray about her song I Try, which was featured in the episode. So definitely go and check out I Am All In with Scott Patterson. You can find it pretty much on any place that has your podcasts. You know, we found it on Apple Podcasts.
Hopefully it's near...
It's through iHeartRadio.
Hopefully it's near where they post ours. So.
Yes, absolutely. So that way people that listen to...
That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll send people to him and hopefully people will find us.
We ain't too proud to beg. We're shameless.
Absolutely. Okay, so favorite moment out of this episode for you?
Oh. Well, if I had to... I think mine's more of the whole dynamic of the mother-daughter, the bond. I can't pick one certain scene. I did like the motorcycle, you know, don't give up on a guy, you know.
Right.
But it's really hard because
you're
just
hard
getting to know him.
Yeah.
And
for this first episode, it was hard to figure out the favorite
I think
scene.
It was those three. The
favorite
opening
scene.
And the middle fight and the end.
Yeah.
For me. As one.
I really loved the opening scene because you could see that chemistry between Luke and Lorelai immediately. And I thought, and I love romance, so I immediately was like, oh, yes, there's going to be a cool romance in here, and these two are going to be great together. I mean, you could just sense it coming. You could see it coming, but
the other favorites
you
for
never
me,
know.
Other favorites for me were the comedic, the Suki and Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, I can see great things coming.
What was your favorite line?
Oh, God. The, I can't talk to idiots today.
I can't talk to any, people are idiots today or something like that. I can't talk to any more of them.
I can't talk to any, yes.
That was delivered by Yannick Truesdale as Michelle.
Followed up by the motorcycle.
Yeah. He says some of the funniest lines on this show. I mean, he literally has me rolling in the floor. He's so funny. I think if I had to pick a favorite line, I've got to go with Lorelai's line in the last scene, which was, I had a flagellation to go to. Because, number one, it's funny. It's a funny thing to say.
So you like my history lesson.
Yeah, I do. Thank you so much, Professor. But, no.
Professor Xavier. I'm not bald. I assure you. I have too much hair.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I liked that line for several reasons. Number one, because it was just a strange reference. Number two, it really did kind of sum up what she had just gone through. But number three, it was funny because she delivered it in such a deadpan way, like this is something that you would say every day. And it was just like, so out of place, it was perfect.
I'd say the most irritating, I'll go a different route. The most irritating was, so you need money.
Yo, yes.
Yeah.
That got me.
Like, the only reason you come to us, belittle yourself, is to ask for money.
Well, and the mom makes it clear later.
And she's self-made.
She never asks them for anything. So I think it's kind of funny that he would have just assumed that she was there for money.
If there was any...
If she never comes to them for anything, why would she be there for money? If there
was any other alternative, she would have took it.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Shy of selling herself on the street.
Because she kept telling Suki, no, not doing that. Not going there.
Yeah.
I equate that to a Stephen King novel.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, this was a very good opener for a new show.
I hope so.
We'll see what we have to say about...
encourage your feedback.
Well, obviously we loved it or we wouldn't have watched all the way through. And you know we have, and I've already admitted I've seen it like 5 times all the way through. Yeah. We encourage your feedback.
I blindly made my way through some of the scenes, but I made it. I got to the end.
Yeah. But if you want to leave us your feedback.
Total Recall.
Just email us at the soon-to-be-created Ready, Set, Stream. @gmail.com. Let us know what you liked about the podcast. If there's anything that you would like to see us talk about that we didn't talk about.
Anything we missed.
Yeah, let us know if there's anything that we missed.
I'm sure there is.
Oh, I'm sure we missed lots of stuff. Share your thoughts on anything that you want to share, and we may pick out an email or two to read on the next podcast episode. I do look forward to that too very much. So everybody go home and Ready, Set, Stream Season 1, Episode 2. And we will see you next time. P.S. After we aired this episode, or not aired it, but when we were editing it, we discovered that readysetstream@gmail.com was already taken. So we created readysetstreampodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.